Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And wow. On the first day of summer.
The longest day of the year. Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Which is good because we got a lot of show to get to today.
Well, so what does that actually mean, the longest day of the year?
Most sunlight, I believe.
Most sunlight will be what, 10, 11 o'clock it'll be?
It better not be, man.
No, it's like Alaska.
That's right. We've got insomnia going on. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good.
Did you have a good week?
I did. You know, kind of, sort of, yeah. I did.
Mixed bag, as they say.
Mixed bag, yeah.
Obviously.
I missed a very important event that I wanted to be at last night, but we have a guest that's coming on to talk to us about it.
Very cool. And how is parade going?
Parade is going fantastic. Thank you for interesting.
Thank you for interesting. And I appreciate your asking.
Thank you. Great reviews from all of the critics in town, so we're thrilled about that. It's a 47-member production with a full orchestra on stage. Jason Robert Brown's music, parade.
And, of course, the amazing Davis Gaines, who joined us last
Davis
week.
Davis Gaines.
So many great performers
Jeff Gowron,
down there. That's right.
Rufus Bonds Jr.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, obviously, Michael, as we said, June 21st here, officially the longest day of the year, and lots of good stuff going on. Yeah.
Well, you know, we have someone on the line that we want to speak to. In lieu of the fact that I was not able to join him last night to go to my friend Richard Sherman's 90th birthday celebration.
Of course.
The great Richard Sherman.
Who we love so much here on the show.
He and his late brother Robert, you know, are the two of the most celebrated movie composers of all time. And they were the writers of so many great, wonderful Disney movies, Jungle Book, Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah, those projects did okay.
Yeah, they did. They did. And Richard is such a dear, sweet man, as is his wife, Elizabeth, and we're good friends. And it was a big hoopla at the Motion Picture Academy of Arts and Sciences last night. And one of the gentlemen that I work with in my efforts for Broadway World TV Los Angeles is my videographer and editor. And he is on the line. And he himself is a wonderful actor, on top of being a great videographer and editor, and has his own show called MovieGuys.net.
That's right. So all of our listeners can obviously jump on right now and check that out, MovieGuys.net. Let's go ahead and welcome in Paul Preston. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Gentlemen, please be seated.
Great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. So, Paul, tell everybody that's listening to this program today about your experience of going to the event for Richard Sherman last night at the Motion Picture Academy Theater.
Well, the Academy threw an event called the Sherman Brothers, a Hollywood Songbook, and it was, as you mentioned, a celebration of these great brothers, Robert and Richard Sherman, who wrote so many of the classic Disney songs from the animated films and beyond, and it stretched well beyond that into other films like Tom Sawyer and Snoopy Come Home and all sorts of films that they've done this great music for. But Richard himself turned 90. I don't know if it was specifically last night, but this month he turns 90.
Actually on the 12th.
And so, big celebration time. And what I love about the Academy is that the Samuel Goldwyn Theater in Beverly Hills, they put on events like this all the time. This was a star-studded event that the public can go and see for $5.
Wow.
Only in Los Angeles can you do these types of things. I mean, I've been to one before for Groundhog Day for, what was that, 25th anniversary?
Wow.
But they had the filmmakers there for Q&As. It's rare when you get into a screening there and get out without a Q&A with the filmmakers or actors or creative team in some form there. So this was just one of the biggest ones I've seen yet. The whole thing started out with Keala Settle. Am I pronouncing her name correctly? I always looked like Keela, but she played the bearded lady in Greatest Showman.
Oh, sure.
And as you know, plenty of Broadway credits, and she came out and sang a very slowed down and emotional It's a Small World.
Oh, really?
And got the attention of the entire place, you know, and to huge applause as well.
Well, I can't imagine a different arrangement of It's a Small World being sung like that,
right?
But because it's such a repetitious song.
Richard Allen was the running the trio. He did a lot of the arrangements for the songs that night.
The great Richard Allen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kenny Loggins?
And sometimes I have varying opinions, too, about sometimes changing up songs like that. But, you know, then John Stamos was the host of the evening. He came out and said that to slow it down and make it meaningful and emotional like that. You know, the lyrics to that song spoke to the time when it was made and are just as true today about how to spread love and remember we're all one world and we're all living here together.
Absolutely.
So I have to ask you this question, Paul, because there are three women in the audience. Two are older. One is younger, 16 years old. I think she'll know who this man is. The host last night was John Stamos.
All three of our ladies just know.
Yeah,
big
smiles. Pays
to be good looking, doesn't it? Man, oh man, everybody knows him.
Up to the ceiling there, you know, like on Facebook.
Paul, how is he as a host? I loved him in How to Succeed in Business and such a great performer. How is he as a host?
Well, I would say that it's not going to help our case for ever comparing ourselves well to him. Because he was charming and handsome and self-effacing, too. He said, you know, thank you, everyone, for coming out. And, of course, I'd like to thank the Academy. And that's pretty much the only time I'm ever going to get to say that. You know, so he was,
now, hold on, Paul. You're telling me that
like
he was charming, handsome, and self-effacing?
It just makes you sick, doesn't it?
Guys like me don't stand a chance anymore. I don't like this. Man, that's great. I'm so glad to hear it. He's obviously a great performer, and it sounds like Richard was in full force last night as well, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't know he was 90. Got up
right
there, and it's so great that we can celebrate him and not have to just, like, refer to him, and he just kind of waves and mumbles. I mean, God bless people who are struggling with anything like that, but
sure.
Richard is alive and vibrant and funny, and he walked up on stage and he played a song, and he's, you know, was grateful and charming as well. So yeah,
wow.
It was really he was the grand finale, of course, as you can imagine.
Well, and what did the lovely, wonderful Haley Mills do? Did she sing?
Well, what a treat to see her. I had never in my life seen Haley Mills. She came out and sang the song from The Parent Trap.
Let's
which
Get
was
Together.
Let's Get Together.
How
yes.
great.
Yeah.
Right.
She's
and,
a pro.
Go ahead.
No, I just said she's a pro. You know, I've met her before, worked with her once, and had Richard and she got up on stage together and sang that song. He played and sang with her. That was about a year and a half ago.
At the ALS benefit we saw her.
ALS benefit
at the
Pasadena Playhouse, yeah. So, yeah, you're looking at royalty, Disney royalty, Haley Mills. Well, Paul, thank you for taking time and filling us all in. I was excited to hear what you had to say, and obviously you had a good time. So thank you for going, and sorry that I wasn't able to join you last night.
Yeah, and I encourage people who live in Los Angeles, take advantage of these kind of events because it's not many other cities where you're going to get old films and old, you know, celebrated. Last night there were clips from plenty of old and legendary films, naturally from Mary Poppins to Jungle Book and right on down. So Karen Dotrice was there. Is that her name? Who played
the young girl? Yes, the young
Jane Banks.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So, you talked about there was just the Disney royalty just kept coming. You know,
wow.
Floyd Norman was there, one of the legendary animators,
wow.
Right on up to Michael Giacchino, who just scored The Incredibles 2. So
right.
It was a great night.
All right, sir. We'll see you soon. Talk to you soon. Thank you so much. And have a good first summer day today.
That's my plan.
Thanks,
that's
Paul. We appreciate it, man.
All righty.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Paul.
Well, now that is Paul Preston from MovieGuys.net, and obviously he had a great time, and MovieGuys.net's a fun resource, too, if people want to check that out.
Yeah, it is.
Good thing to do. So, well, now we've got a big show today. We've got a crowded studio with a lot of very cool people, friends of the show here, what
yeah.
I always love. But we should pay some bills first, yeah?
I think we should.
Let's go ahead and take the time to thank Princess Cruises and PerformingArtsLive.com.
And do you want me to start off with that?
Let's go ahead and do it.
All right. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, Princess Cruises for coming on board during 2018.
Mm-hmm.
You see how I did that?
Coming on board.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like a ship. I'm mm-hmm. with you. I love it.
A pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences, Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, providing fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
So experience the next wave in vacation travel at the end of each month from September to August. One lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. Make sure you enter every month by coming to our page on the LA Talk Radio Network, the State of the Arts page on the LA Talk Radio Network, and sign up for your chance to win. All you do is go to that page, click, put in the required information, which is very little, and you may be out there singing the high seas yourself.
That's right. And of course, we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
We are. And to Mike Napoli, who puts that site together and is so generous with his time and so dedicated to it. It's a great resource, as Andrew said. Andrew, what about your theatrical week? Anything happen there?
You know, this was unfortunately not a very busy theatrical week with summer starting up and the kids being out of school and jobs and such. I didn't get out to the theater. Did you get to see anything?
I did not.
I had to turn down an offer to go see The Amazing Parade down at 3D Theatricals,
yes, that,
which
well,
I was very excited to get to.
I handled the opening of that, so in essence, yes, I did see something, but...
you were working.
I was working. Yeah,
that's right. Working. Well, and obviously 3D Theatricals, this production of Parade, is much lauded, and it's getting great reviews. We talked about it a lot last week, and it sounds like the run has just gotten off to an amazing start.
It is. It's doing good business, too. We were concerned because people have not, they're not very familiar with the show.
Yeah.
And certainly the storyline is heavy duty, and the music is beautiful, but you've got to be there to, you know, compress everything and take it all in. So the audiences are literally walking out astounded that something like that that happened in 1913 is still happening today.
That's right.
And it's so true.
Yeah.
Right?
Based on a true story and obviously
true
so beautifully
crafted. True story
about
Leo Frank.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, obviously one of the great plays going on in the Southland now, but there's so much more to talk about. Let's jump right in today, and we'll introduce our first guest on top of page six here. Our first guest today is a director, actor, and writer who has worked extensively in L.A. and New York among his many other credits. He directed the Hollywood Fringe Award-winning and Ovation-nominated Doomsday Cabaret, a rock opera of apocalyptic proportions. He also directed a singular They at the Blank Theater.
He currently serves as co-artistic, he currently serves as working with the Blank Theater as a director in Hollywood. Every June, when its Young Playwrights Festival comes to town, the Blank Theater producers produce the 12 best plays by playwrights ages 9 to 19, chosen from a nationwide competition.
In the last 25 years, The Blank has produced 308 plays, all by young writers, allowing them to see their vision come to life on stage in a professional production featuring known actors from film, television, and theater.
Now in their 26th year, he is here to tell us all about the great impact that this festival is having on the future of theater. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Christopher J. Raymond.
Christopher, good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate
how
you
doing?
It. Yeah. Hi, thank you so much for having us.
So, Christopher Raymond, we talked, I said to you earlier, there's another Christopher Raymond, who's a musical director who was on this show and sat in the seat that you're sitting in. And you two met by happenstance? Or?
I think we actually met online because people had confused me.
Friended so many. That's funny.
And also at auditions, the actors would go in that had worked with me, and they were going in to audition for him, and they were coming in with this kind of like, big, happy expectation that they were seeing me, I think.
Yeah.
And then... Christopher Raymond didn't know them. You know, they came and like, hey, how you doing? And they're like, oh, I don't know you, actually. so that was hard for them. And I've had the same experience for actors coming in, you know, thinking they're seeing him. Right. And they see me and go, oh, you don't have any hair.
Oh, nice. Nice. Right out of
he
the
does
gate.
Have a He has a big curly top head of hair,
yeah,
doesn't he? You're right.
Bob Dylan kind of 1960s kind of dude.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's very funny.
But a very talented man.
Yes. Well, and so, another one here in the seat. That's right. No doubt about it.
How does this process, how do the directors get assigned to these plays? Let's talk about that.
It's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
Daniel Henning, who's the artistic yes. director and the founding artistic director of the Blank Theater Company, so he's put together this festival for 26 years.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are involved right from the get-go of selecting the finalist. And then there's a group of us on the selection committee who take the finalists, and then we kind of argue for 12 to 14 hours
wow.
and come down to the 12 winners. And as Daniel always says, vote for the plays that you believe in your heart are the winners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do.
Yeah.
And these young playwrights are from all over the country?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
So they fly in? The Blank
yes.
flies them in? And
I don't know if the Blank flies them in, but...
They
have to fly themselves.
Boy, are their arms tired.
Exactly, yes. They say that a lot. Or their parents, or a grandmother, you know. When, yeah,
now,
like
how
that.
Does the submission process work? How do they find out about the Blank Theaters Festival? Obviously, it's been around for a long time, but to get that word out there, and what's the process in order for them to submit?
The way to get the word out is that we contact all the kind of universities and high schools and drama departments across the nation.
Wow.
And we make sure that they're aware of it. Mm-hmm. At this point, there's a heightened awareness of it throughout the nation, and
sure.
there are a lot of playwriting and drama teachers who are encouraging their students to participate. Some of them actually plan in advance to submit. So sometimes
yeah.
we get a year where we have 25 submissions from the same class
wow.
from like Lakewood, Florida or something like that.
Wow.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of interest and knowledge about the festival.
Collectively speaking, great. How many submissions would come in any...
Each year?
Yes.
I would say the upwards of 300
wow.
per year.
And what do they have to include in their submission?
In their submission process, what they include is a statement, you know, the play, maybe a brief synopsis, and that is about it. Karina, what did
That's
you
great.
Submit by any chance?
My name?
That's the playwright, I'm sorry.
I submitted what school I went to, and, my name, the school I went to, I don't remember a synopsis.
I lied.
and then the play that I wrote.
That's great.
Yeah, it's basically, that's it, actually, and then they get assigned a number.
Wonderful.
And, you know, they're read by, the first round is read by a whole group of people, and then it gets whittled down to about 50. Or so, which are the semi-finalists, and then it gets down to the 12 actual winners, which
wow.
is very exciting. Can you imagine being a 9-year-old or a 12-year-old and a producer in Florida, Los Angeles, calls you up and says, hey, you've just won the Young Playwrights Festival in Hollywood, and you're going to come out and real actors and directors are going to put on your play.
I can't imagine being a 12-year-old who could finish a play.
Right?
I was barely a 12-year-old who could spell my first name.
Me too.
So that's yes. pretty amazing. Now, is there a fee involved in this?
Oh, not at all.
That's
no.
great.
Yeah.
What a wonderful thing. And you hear so many times where, you know, a place like that doesn't have a fee will get the word out there and people will think, oh, well, I don't have the money to be involved or I can't, something like that. What a great opportunity for these young people
yes.
to put their work out there, get it read by a professional, let alone get it produced, but just to have it read,
right.
that's a really great thing you guys are doing.
Yes, and I think what's exciting is that, you know, here's a young kid somewhere across the country in their basement writing a play. How many kids do you know are in their basements
that's
writing
a great
plays?
Thing. That's right.
Right, you know,
that's
and then
right.
sending it out there and they get recognized.
Yep.
You know, and that's thrilling for us as well.
And it's a great thing.
The amount of plays that are get selected are how many again?
12 winners, and then there are a series of semi-finalists.
So is the very fact that the play is produced, is that what the prize is?
That is correct.
All right.
That's great.
Yeah. And then there's a casting process, and word goes out to all the agencies about these?
That is correct. We work with really wonderful casting directors,
mm-hmm.
And with Daniel Henning working with them, and they cast the plays, and then they kind of attach us as the directors to the plays.
Christopher, do you have anything to say about the casting process?
No, I do not. It's very interesting. People assume that, and they don't know the process. So they're like, oh, that was an interesting casting choice you made. And it's like, no, I wasn't a part of that at all. That was a great decision by our artistic director.
We're talking to Christopher J. Raymond today about the project that the Blank Theater Company is doing. And it's interesting, too, because the Blank has a great reputation for many works. Obviously, mm-hmm. they do great stuff across all year long. But this festival's been around for a quarter of a century. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
Correct?
And obviously, it's been so popular, and so many people know about it. So if somebody out there right now has a young author that they know, or maybe they're a teacher in a playwriting class or an English class, how would they get their kids to find you and to submit a play for next year's festival?
I would go directly to the Blank. .com on the internet, mm-hmm. and look up our information and make sure you're aware. Usually our submission process is in March, and the deadline probably is around March 15th, I believe.
Right.
And we start submissions receiving submissions probably in February, but we are delighted and thrilled by every single application that we get.
Wonderful. Yeah. I definitely get that sense. And obviously, kids, start writing now, because this is a great opportunity to have your work produced. I graduated college with a degree in literature and composition, and it took me 2 years to get my first play published. And it was so hard because you didn't have any contacts, you didn't have any structure, you didn't know what you're doing. To start at 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, what an amazing thing to be able to do. A great leg up.
Yeah, and also, too, I think one of the great things about the young playwrights is that they don't have any filters, right?
That's right.
So they're not kind of honed down.
Neither
by this.
Neither is anybody in this room.
No, exactly. But, you know, they're not kind of honed down like, oh, I have to have an inciting incident, or I have to make sure it has a happy ending, or
right.
I have to do these particular things. They're not thinking that way.
Right.
They're just an open kind of, you know, artist creating
yes,
their work.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about the casting process, which kind of leads us into our first guest from the Young Playwrights Festival.
Absolutely.
He is an actor making a name for himself, I'll tell you that. Film credits include Lifetime's Michael Jackson, Searching for Neverland, Para Not Normal, North of Neon, and Who's at the Door? In addition to his commercial work in print and voiceover work, some theater credits include Willy Wonka, Fiddler on the Roof, The Sound of Music, Wicked, Frozen, Annie, Get Your Gun, and he's also the young star of the play in the Playwrights Festival called Scrapbox, one of the brilliant plays, I might add, selected for the Young Playwrights Festival.
Yeah, pretty cool. Let's welcome him in, Aiden Smith.
There you go.
Hello, sir.
Hello.
Obviously, your fans follow you everywhere, Aiden. Is that
true?
Yes. My
yes.
goodness.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Thanks for joining us today, man. How are you?
I am very good. Yes.
Good.
Aiden, has anybody ever told you that you look like a very young Dudley Moore?
No, I have not got that.
Do you know who Dudley Moore is?
No.
Uh-oh.
But I have got Corey Feldman. I've
he's
got
about
that
as tall
very
as
cool.
you
I
are.
I could see
yeah.
that, too. Yeah.
He's about as tall as you are.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's a little guy, and you'll grow up to be taller than he will be. But very famous guy and very funny, like you. He's very charming, very smart. And, yeah, I've always thought that. And does your mother agree? Do you ever think that?
See that? Yeah.
Moore is nodding, yes.
And my mother agrees as well.
That's cool. Well, I guess that's two generations you span with Corey Feldman and Dudley Moore. That's pretty cool. That's
yes.
a lot of people watching you and saying, hey, that kid's got that star presence. So,
yeah.
Now, how many shows have you been in so far?
Shows? That's hard. I've been in around 12.
Yeah. So you're a veteran of the stage already. The question is, how does this compare to those other experiences? You're working on something new and something written by your own peers.
Well, this is more professional than the other ones I've done, because the other ones were just at my school and it's just like,
okay.
oh. But like, comparing to the other ones, it's really cool to see something, like, to be in something that is written by someone around my age.
Yeah.
And it's like, after I heard it, I was like, you know what? I might go home and write a play. After I read it, I was like,
wow.
I might go home and write a play. And it was just really cool to be in it. And it was cool to see everyone's reaction to it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, now this is interesting too, though, because obviously as an experienced actor, you'd never taken on writing before?
I've written a short film, and
okay.
I did that because it was to get into this arts high school, LOXA.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which is quite an achievement, isn't it?
Yeah. So I did that, and then I didn't get in for cinema arts, but I got in for acting. But basically, I have done writing before, but never a play. I've always done screenwriting. I wanted to do screenwriting.
Sure.
But then I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to write a play. So, yeah.
So are you excited to go to LOXA? That's an acronym for Los Angeles.
Los Angeles County High School of the Arts.
And it's not easy to get into, is it?
No, it is not.
How many people audition to get into it?
13,000 people audition, and then 30 people get in for theater.
Wow.
And that's just for theater alone.
Are they all 30 from Los Angeles?
Some are like across the United States.
Oh, really? So it extends itself all over the country. That's awesome, man. So you'd be very, very proud of that accomplishment, right?
Yes.
You excited?
Yes, I am.
Yeah?
Very excited.
Because you just graduated.
Yes.
From elementary school.
I actually graduated. I graduated while we were practicing, so we couldn't have that day. It was on June 1st I graduated.
You were in rehearsal while you graduated?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh.
No.
We couldn't have a rehearsal because of graduation.
Because
can
of
you
my
believe
graduation.
It?
Already calling the shots.
Yes.
Okay.
And I demand this date off and this date off. Well, now we are talking to the immensely talented Aidan Hanlon-Smith here. He's one of the stars of the 26th Annual Blank Theater Young Playwrights Festival. Tell us about the play you're in and a little bit about how you got involved with it.
Well, I think the play doesn't have any more performances left, right? The Playwrights Festival has three more days.
Yes.
And you've completed your run.
Four more?
And what was the name of the show you were in?
It was Scrapbox.
Scrapbox. Very cool. Who'd you play?
I played Emmett. It was a little boy. It was a little boy who lived with his older brother.
Okay.
And it's because his dad's dead.
Yikes.
But his mom has some sort of problem. And, yeah.
So this was a drama, obviously.
Yes, but there were comical parts.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very cool. What was that experience like playing a child in that situation?
It was cool. It was pretty nice to play a child because, yeah.
Well, you are.
Because I am a child.
And I'm sure in school plays you have to play older characters all the time. And so I hated that too. Yeah.
It's just like, oh my God. And then, so basically it was, I could relate to it a lot.
Cool.
It's like this kid had a lot of energy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of energy.
No.
No.
You?
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. So it was just really fun to play a kid.
I love it. That's great.
And I want to ask you something aside from the play that you just did, Scrapbox.
Yes.
And we're going to talk to the playwright right after we speak with you. I'm looking at your resume, Aidan, and I want to ask you a question. You played Max in The Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Now, that is a guy that's in his 60s. Maybe even 70.
Yeah.
Did you try to appear to be older, or this was a Showboat Theater? So.
Or did you play him like Benjamin Button?
Well, I played him my own way.
Yeah.
But it was kind of older, but kind of like.
What made it older for you, though? What did you have to do to do
that?
Well,
I had to wear this really painful beard. But yeah. Like really painful. They glued it on, and I had to rip it off.
Wow.
It hurt a lot.
Every night you had to rip it off.
But I kind of just, posture helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just, yeah. I just tried to play.
And, well, I can't even imagine what Maria, how old was she? 7 years old?
She was 15.
15 years old.
Yeah.
So it was a young cast playing older people.
Yeah.
It's a serious character role, my friend.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
I would have loved to have seen that production. Showboat Theater, where is that? I'm not familiar with it.
It is right across the... it's...
Right across the river.
It's right across the street from my house, actually. It's at a Dot Ariel.
Cool.
Yeah.
So. Oh. I know where that is.
Yeah.
On Burbank?
Yeah. They do, they do shows in their theater.
Ah, very nice. Mm-hmm. And that's not the only show you did there. You did Wicked.
Yeah.
I didn't even know they had a junior version of Wicked, but they do.
Yeah, the rights. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Frozen?
Mm-hmm.
Did you try to sing any of Elphaba's songs, or you stayed away from that? I know you played Bach, but...
In Wicked?
Yeah.
One day, Elphaba was sick.
You had to go cover
so
for her?
So all of us sang her songs. So that was really fun.
That's great. Yeah. I'd have loved to have seen that.
Boy, oh boy. That is something else. So, okay. We love having you here. We don't have children on this program very often.
They don't let them in the room with us. That's why his mother came. They're like, no, I don't want you to be around those negative influences. Andrew and Michael, man, I tell you, those guys are nothing but trouble.
I don't consider Aiden Smith a child.
You know what's funny
is
he's an old soul. That's exactly, I think you're exactly right. But more than that, an immense talent. And Aiden, obviously, we wish you the best. You're going to have a great career coming up. If you want to check out more about him, you can certainly come see him in a show at some point, and certainly take the time to go find out more about the 26th annual Blank Theater Young Playwrights Festival. It runs all the way till June 24th. Of course, Aiden's show has wrapped up, but there's a lot of other great pieces there that you can go out and see.
For sure. Yes. So we're going to switch chairs right now. We're going to talk to the young lady that wrote your show.
Yes.
I wasn't looking for her name. It was the show title. But let's make that switch.
We'll be doing musical chairs here. Michael, do you want to do a quick live arts calendar?
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's go ahead and do that. We're on top of page 7, ladies and gentlemen. For those of you following at home, we should provide scripts for everybody so they can follow along and see every word that I mispronounce. How great would that be?
The Ovation-nominated After Hours Theater Company invites you to enter the Asylum in a first-of-its-kind hybrid immersive theatrical production of Dale Wasserman's classic play, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, based on the novel by Ken Kesey?
I think it's Kesey. I don't remember, though.
Yeah.
When Randall Patrick McMurphy gets transferred to a mental institution, he encounters Nurse Ratched, who runs the psychiatric ward with an iron fist, keeping her patients cowed through the abuse, medication, and sessions of electrotherapy. The battle of wills will be between rebellious McMurphy and the authoritarian Ratched soon escalates, leaving no one in the ward left unscathed.
Don't miss this one-of-a-kind performance on stage now through July 1st. For tickets or more information, visit cuckoosnestla.com. Loved the movie.
That's, well,
I can't imagine what it's like on stage.
I mean, of course, when we think back on the great films of the time, that was so definitive. And
so
each
Jack.
Production, right?
Yeah.
So Jack. And defined Jack, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so many cool things going on right now with classic plays being rebooted with some really great cast. So Cuckoo's Nest is a great one to go see.
Absolutely.
We'd encourage you.
Yeah. Well, there's another one that you should have gone to see. We all should have gone to see it before we did this program, but we were not in the audience, so we are going to apologize to the playwright, but we'd love to have you here so that we can tell everybody about it, because hopefully it'll be produced again somewhere, right? So our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is an actor. Excuse me. I'm sorry, I'm totally on the wrong page, aren't I?
You are on the wrong page, but she's the playwright. And were you the playwright of this piece alone? Is that the piece that you wrote, the one that Aiden was involved with?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that piece and kind of how you came up with it? And first of all, what's the title of the piece once more?
It's called Scrapbox.
And you are 16 years old.
I'm 16,
and
yes.
You wrote this when you were 15?
Yes,
or?
I did.
Okay.
Now, your name is... Karina?
Karina.
It's pronounced like Karina, the normal Russian name, correct?
Right.
But it's spelled very beautifully. How do you spell your name?
Thank you. It's Q-U-I-R-I-N-A.
Cool. That's such a cool name. And last name, of course, is Vickers here. Mm-hmm. Now, as a playwright, is that something you've always aspired to do? Or did you say, hey, there's a theater festival. I think I can do that.
Actually, I started at the Young Actors Studio acting, and they have a small writing program that's about an hour before our acting class every weekend. And a few months into my time there as an actress, I started at the writing class, and I started by writing small scenes. This was about 8 months ago.
Wow.
And I started writing small scenes, and then... I wrote one play.
Was that this play?
No, it wasn't.
Okay, wow.
It was very long, too long. and so then I decided to kind of separate myself from that, and then I started this. And yeah.
Wow. So are you going to go back to that long play and try to cut it down? And
I may. That long play was kind of just getting all my ideas on the paper.
Okay.
And then I may go back and sift out some stuff.
So do you have a process of how you write a play? What happens first in your mind
Sure.
before it goes on paper?
Yeah, so I don't have a process. My process is that I don't have a process, which helps
makes sense.
In a way, but it's also very hard. I usually start with a very, very long monologue
mm-hmm.
That's just, again, just spitting everything on the paper and then kind of going back and sifting through that afterwards. So, all my plays usually start with about a 5-page monologue.
Mm.
It's just everything about the character.
So you start with your protagonist and you just build out that monologue, the
sometimes,
one.
Sometimes, yeah.
That's interesting. Uh-huh. Okay. Now, generally speaking, are the characters, are the main protagonists, are they of your age? Are they older, younger? Do you write about different ages and experiences?
They're usually, they're usually around my age. Aiden's character was the youngest character that I've ever written. But as far as...
Was it his actual age? I think he's 14.
Oh,
right?
He's a bit younger in the play. Yeah.
He can play from 70 all the way down.
That's
it's
true.
Amazing.
Yeah, you don't have to
boy's
worry
got
with
range.
Him. He's got that. Yeah, range. Yeah.
He's about 13 in the play. Oh. So, yeah. And what was I going to say?
Talk about your process and the general way you lay out your antagonist
yeah.
and your protagonist. Now, I'm interested to know, too, when you come up with the circumstances mm-hmm. for your play, because for me that's always been an interesting conversation with mm-hmm. playwrights, is what kind of circumstances do you set your heroes in? Is it something that you've experienced, or is it something you've imagined? Do you like to write works about the kind of common person, or do you like to do extraordinary circumstances and extraordinary people?
I guess this goes back to my original thing, is that I don't plan before.
You just let it go.
I just write, yeah. And this play actually started, I had just heard my uncle slipped on black ice, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. Let's start this. And then it starts with Patrick, his older brother, coming in and slipping on black ice. And then I was like, oh, I have a cat. And then the cat comes in, and it kind of all goes from there. And it's a mess in the beginning, and then I go back and I kind of tweak things.
It's the no filter process.
Right.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly.
Filter process.
Yeah.
Right.
We're talking with Karina Vickers today about her show that was included in the 26th annual Blank Theater Young Playwrights Festival, running through June 24th. And this is at the Stella Adler Theater, is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. Great space, and a historic space too. So many great pieces have been up on that stage. That's got to be kind of cool to see your work put up there with them too.
It was very cool. It was so sudden, and it all came at me at once, but it was amazing, yeah.
And nice. I mean, were you the only person chosen from Los Angeles? Because you live out here in Toluca Lake, mm-hmm. right?
Yes. No, I believe there were five winners.
Five winners?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
Yes.
And does everybody make friends? You know, you're like you are in a show. Mm-hmm. You're friends for life, right? After that, it becomes like a second family.
Yeah, I'd say I see my cast a lot more often than I see the other writers. We got lucky. We got to go on a little field trip with the other writers, and I got to make connections with that. But overall, I didn't see the other writers much, but I became friends.
What was the field trip?
We went to visit the writing room of Riverdale.
Wow.
Yeah, it was very cool. Yeah.
Really? Do you like that
great show?
Do you watch that show?
I do not watch that show, but I've heard very, very good things about it. Yeah.
You don't watch it because you're not interested, or because you are not age appropriate for it?
Oh, I'm age appropriate. I haven't.
See, I think it's very, very heavy duty.
Oh, is it?
And I don't think that young people should be watching.
Oh, really?
Is this
okay.
the Archies, or am I being very naive?
No, you're right.
Yes.
It's an updated version.
I mean, okay. It's fascinating to the, you know, millennium, even to the millenniums.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that Archie's comic strip was so mm-hmm. famous that to turn these characters into these kinds of characters that are dark and gruesome,
that
some of them,
it's
a lot to take in.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not you, so you might feel differently about it.
I haven't
it.
Seen it yet.
I know.
Well, the writer's room must have been amazing, though, yeah?
Watch one episode.
Sorry.
Right? Was the writer's room amazing? Was
that
interesting? It must have been a complex place to be. And how many writers are on that show, do you know?
I don't. The writers were not there
when
we went to visit, but it was a very cool room. It was very artsy and
very cool.
Is this what you want to do for the rest of your life?
I'm actually... I, as I've said before, I started as an actress. The writing thing was kind of something I just kind of just got into, and then I submitted to this festival, and then semifinals rolled around, and I was like, oh, this is great, and then I won, and it was like, this is incredible.
Yeah.
So I have not had much time to think about what I want
to
do yet.
No need to narrow it down. Take your time and have lots of fun with both of them, because they both add to each other.
You can do both things.
Christopher, I wanted to ask you, some of the other plays that still are running, can you tell us a little bit about those, and maybe let us know what people could go see if they want to go see something at the 26th Annual Blank Theater Young Playwrights Festival that's running through the 24th?
Sure. There are three shows in an evening.
Am I in any of them?
You are, actually. Oh, it's good. A surprise.
And what's
surprise
funny is I'll have my lines down by tonight, and I'll be at the theater. I'm so ready to go.
That's how it usually works. No, just kidding. As for the young playwrights, they really don't get to see the other playwrights that much because they're in. If they're lucky enough to be in Los Angeles, they can be in rehearsal in the process with the director and the actors. Mm-hmm. But other than that, they're flying in almost around the time the show's going up or for the run-through.
Yeah.
For this week, there are some really phenomenal shows. One of them's called Arachna Woman No Cry.
Wow.
Bob Marley meets arachnophobia? Is that what it is?
Basically, yes. It's this young man who is very distraught about his recent breakup with his girlfriend and is trying to save a suicidal spider from killing himself.
Wow.
That he finds in his apartment.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little, you know, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark meets, you know.
My kids won't let me kill spiders anymore.
I don't blame them.
Yeah, it's funny. When I grew up, that was just like, I mean, there were so many spiders running around in the country. You got rid of the darn spider, right? But now my kids are like, no, Dad, that's a life. And I'm like, you're right. And so I do spend a lot of my time chasing down spiders and trapping them in Tupperware and then getting them outside and then going to wash the Tupperware so my wife doesn't yell at me. But I got to say, if I found a suicidal spider, I think I would.
How would you
give
know
my,
it's suicidal?
Well, you got to talk to it, Michael.
Oh,
it's a tangled web.
Of course,
we weave.
Why didn't I?
You got to sit
down.
Web.
That's one of the things. That's in our thing. It's a tangled web we weave.
You got to sit. I hope I don't get sued for plagiarism. Now that's a great joke too. One of the things that I would think is that these kids are examining things that I never would have thought of when I was that age.
Exactly. You know,
that's
yeah.
interesting. Very cool. Very cool to see that in young people these days. What else is going on?
And there's another play called 159.
159.
And 159 is kind of like the 159, the daylight savings time hour. These two young bros after a party are trying to figure out.
Did you say bros?
I did say bros. Is that terrible?
No.
Okay.
My dentist called me dude the other day. I didn't quite know how to react to that. He said, "What's going on, dude?"
Dude, what's up?
He's a very good dentist, though. So.
Wait, do your children call you dude?
No, if they do, they get locked in their closet for a while.
They do.
Two bros in a room.
Two bros after a party. Right, it's a daylight
savings. Sounds like the beginning of a joke. Two
bros. Right, exactly, and they're trying to figure out what happens in that hour of daylight savings time that we either we lose in a way. It's a mysterious hour, and they're trying to figure out what happens in that hour.
That's funny.
And there's something that happens in that hour with them that when the clock resets, they have to figure out, does it really count and does it really matter?
Wow.
So it's a
it's kind of Twilight Zone-y.
A little bit.
I like
a little
that.
Bit.
Very
yeah,
cool.
It's very intense.
Well. You know what does count and really matters?
I'm ready.
On this program is our signature closing.
That's right.
Right?
No doubt
about
it.
We have three of them today.
Boy, we got a lot of moments coming up. So for those of you who don't know about this, it's a little bit we do just to kind of remind us all that live performance, anything can happen, and you got to be ready. And no matter how bad it may seem at the time, the show must go on.
And now, embarrassing moments.
I had one today. I had electroconvulsive therapy in my read, and I decided to just say electrotherapy. And Michael laughed at me live on air. That's my embarrassing moment.
I knew it was going to happen.
But what's so funny is when I write, it sounds so good, and then I realize I have to verbalize it on the air, and I'm like, man, I got to use shorter words. I'm done with that thesaurus. Can you tell us a little bit? That's a totally different play, huh? Karina, can you tell us about something maybe that's happened in your young career, something that was embarrassing or unexpected?
Sure. A few months ago, I had to do one act called Time Flies. And
where was this?
This was at my school, Village Christian. And I had to play a mayfly. And the whole scene is just about how mayflies only live for 24 hours. And there's this little kind of thing that you have to do in the middle of the scene, throughout the scene, that's where you're running away from a frog. And so there's a sound effect that's like a ribbit, and then we have to run away, run around the stage from an imaginary frog, and scream. And it was embarrassing. And I was dressed in wings and a black cocktail dress.
You were the fly?
I was a fly.
Black cocktail dress.
Yeah, I was playing a mayfly who was on a date that went wrong. And then a frog comes, and we have to run away from this imaginary frog.
I wonder if
frog.
There's ever been a date with a mayfly that went well.
Well now, that's true.
Really great date.
That's kind of a very unusual subject matter for a play. Who wrote that?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember the playwright.
And how did it come about being chosen at your school?
Oh, my teacher, it was our semester final.
Really?
And so, yeah, I had to do it. There was no way I could get out of it. And my classmates were there watching me run around the stage screaming from an imaginary frog on a date with another mayfly.
So are you going to put that on your acting resume?
Probably not.
You watch, it'll be on Broadway next year. You're going to be auditioning for the role on Broadway. That's pretty funny.
The musical version.
That's right.
Musical
version.
It was a very
it's actually
fun
by Strindberg.
Show. It was a very fun show. I enjoyed it after, getting over that. Yeah.
And that will probably be the least embarrassing thing you do in this business. So get ready. Get ready,
so
Karina.
Fun, yeah.
Christopher,
as long
you got anything
for us?
It
doesn't scar you for life.
That's right.
That's Christopher, what about you, sir?
Every day.
Every day
is an embarrassment.
I'm still waiting for somebody to go doing this show and then just leave the studio.
Right, exactly. Just walk off. God, there's so many. There's so many to choose from. But I'm going to go to the one that hit me when I first thought about it. Mm. I was a very shy child. And I was in the sixth grade. And this teacher in the sixth grade, Mrs. Sullivan, who was running the school play, heard that I wanted to be in theater. So she had me come up and introduce the play. The only thing is that I couldn't project.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I couldn't project. And so I got up and I said, "And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the blah, 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 blah." Right. And everybody in the audience was like, "Louder, louder." And people were like, "Louder." And then I would repeat it.
Karina, are you writing this down? This is great material for a play. I'm serious. This is awesome.
And then I would repeat it, and still no one could hear me.
Oh,
and so
no.
The teacher's like, "Louder, louder." And finally I yelled it, and then they applauded. And that was it. That
wow.
was the moment when they applauded that I was like, this is it for me. This
really?
Is my career.
And as a director, I got to
wow.
tell you, it's good to learn to project earlier. So you were on your career path very quickly. Start
right,
speaking
right.
up. That's great.
And, oh and it's been like that ever since.
And you were immediately hooked. You knew what you wanted to do.
That moment when they applauded, I think that was it. I was addicted.
I love that. That's okay. great. That's a great start. And nice that they applauded for you, too, because there can be some rough
yes.
moments in that kind of situation.
I mean, it was a New York public school, too, so you can imagine that. It could have gone a very different way.
Wow, single-handedly. Yeah, that's a great, great endorsement of your classmates. Aiden Hanlon Smith, what you got for us?
This show, no.
And he gets up and he's going down. Stealing my joke.
No. Yes, I am. No,
Watch it, Mister.
Well, I once had this audition for I forgot what it was, but I had an audition for something, and I went in. I was like, yeah, okay, cool. I went in. A lady was a little weird when I walked in. I was like, okay, and then. Right before my scene, I coughed and sneezed once. And then I was doing the scene. She was like, okay, let's just stop.
That's always a great feeling, isn't it?
Can you restart? Okay.
Wow.
I go. I sniffle once. She's like, okay, are you sick? And I'm like, no. Oh, are you sure?
Wow.
Yes. Do you need a tissue? No. Okay.
Wow.
Let's redo this. And then we do it. And then she's like, all right. So thanks. All right, bye. And then I go to put my hand on the door. And she's like, wait. Puts hand sanitizer in my hands. And then I'm like,
Oh, my goodness.
And then I go to open the door. She's like, you know what? I'll just do it.
Oh,
she opens
my
the door.
Goodness.
And then she tells my dad, she's like, I think you have to take your kid to the doctor.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, I'm never doing an audition for her again.
Oh, my goodness. That's an awful audition story. And yet, now I got to ask you.
It was Meryl Streep.
Right. I got to ask you, did this, I mean, did you, were you able to finish up the monologue? I mean, did you do your job?
Yeah, no, I did the audition. But she was just, I was like.
That's amazing. Okay. This woman obviously doesn't have children.
Yeah, probably.
Wow. I mean, if you're a mama, you spend all your time wiping noses until they're 24. So, well, now this is obviously, that's rude and they shouldn't have done that. But next time that happens, I want you to look her right in the eye and say, no, I'm not, but I felt like my character was. And then just walk out.
Yeah. So, Yeah. And say it real low.
Yeah. Aiden, that is a tough one. My goodness, but good job pushing through, young man. That's impressive.
Absolutely.
Impressive.
Well,
so great to talk to all these people today. What a great group of people. Again, they're at the 26th Annual Blank Theater Young Playwrights Festival, running now at the Stella Adler Theater through June 24th.
And it is easy to get tickets to this wonderful experience, and we urge you to do that, especially because it is our youth that has taken this task and put it on the stage. And you simply go to the blank.com web address, which is the Blank Theater's address, of course, or you can purchase tickets by telephone at 323-661-9827.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very modestly priced. So we've got some great weather coming up here this weekend.
Have a quick interruption, if I may.
Of course, please.
Tonight, there's a surprise guest, Stephen Karam, which you may have heard of.
Did you just ruin the surprise?
I'm sorry.
People all across the world now who are waiting with bated breath.
I was trying to give you the...
That's amazing, though. That's great. Steve Karam. That's wonderful.
That's right. From the humans. He's also a multi-winner of the YPF.
Right.
And he's going to be there tonight helping present the shows tonight. So if you guys want to meet a great Tony Award-winning playwright.
Breaking news here on State of the Arts. Right. I love it. Now, is there a specific play that they need to call and ask to go in order to see Mr. Karam? Is that something they have to ask for?
He's going to be helping introduce the evening tonight.
Awesome. Okay. Very
cool. I may be lying, but I don't think I am.
Well, we'll send him to your address. Okay. We're going to have him come find you if you are, because that's obviously, that's a rare opportunity and a great thing to get to do. And in addition, you get to see a great play and really have a nice night of theater. So that sounds fun. We certainly encourage everybody to get out there and see the Blank Theater Festival for Young Playwrights. We'd also encourage you to check out Cuckoo's Nest. Obviously, movieguys.net, the great Paul Preston. Thank you for joining us today.
And Parade, the Robert Jason Brown musical at the Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center through this weekend.
And where can you go to get tickets for Parade?
Go to 3DTShows.org or call their box office number, which would be on their website. And we have performances on Friday evening at 8 p.m. to performances on Saturday at 2 and 8 p.m. and Sunday closing at 2 p.m.
Big thank you.
Magnificent show that does not get done very often.
That's
so
right.
It's really a wonderful thing for you to try and make it this time. This amazing production. You will feel like you are in New York on Broadway because they have spared no expense with
this.
That's
right. Huge thank you to our guests, Karina Vickers, Aiden Hanlon-Smith, and Christopher James Raymond today. Let's give them a round of applause.
Yes. Yay!
Great to see young people out there doing great artistic work. Keep it up, guys. We're real proud of you. That's awesome stuff. Michael, where do I see you next week?
Next week, you'll see me right here on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.